You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. It seems like almost every business of any kind has been made into a reality show. Storage, restaurants, fishing, bridal boutiques, and many of the shows based on those businesses have done incredibly well, except art. Two art world reality shows have failed to make it, and now there's this.
Hi. Is that Blake Little?
Yeah, okay, he dumped 10 gallons of honey on each of his models.
That's a lot. He is cutting edge. He is hot right now.
He's super hot.
That's a clip from Art Breakers, which runs on Ovation, an independent media company whose slogan is Art Everywhere. It's the latest attempt to make a reality hit based on the art business. And to figure out why that hasn't really worked before, we brought in Michael H. Miller. He's a senior editor for Art News, and he's written about all this. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Give me a sense of what Art Breakers is about. I feel like I've seen some previews here, so What's it like?
Well, it's about art advisors, and it focuses on two young women, and they're mostly based in Los Angeles, and the show follows their exploits in the art world. It's four episodes long, mercifully.
You said mercifully, which makes me think that perhaps this is not the most accurate reflection of the art world?
No, it's not. It presents everything in the art world as sort of above board, which is just not the case.
There have been a couple attempts to try to make reality shows out of the art business, and they haven't really worked.
Mm.
And then Sony's streaming division is bringing a scripted show about the art world. Why do you think there has been both this interest and yet sort of a disconnect in making a successful show out of it?
The big thing about the art world, and I think one of the reasons why a reality TV show about it hasn't really worked yet, is that the whole business sort of lacks transparency by design. People don't really like to talk about how the sausage gets made. So just for one example of its kind of closed offness, New York has a truth in pricing law, which states that items for sale in a commercial space have to be conspicuously displayed. And I have never, in the many years that I've covered the art world, walked into a gallery and seen price tags for works that are on view that are for sale. What usually happens is there's a checklist that you have to ask someone at the front desk for. But even then, those usually don't have prices on them. It's usually just a title and dimensions and the year it was completed. So then you can ask a gallery employee if you're so inclined, but oftentimes the gallery employee won't disclose price. So, that's just one example. That's a very easy thing, displaying prices for works that are for sale that just doesn't go on at commercial galleries in New York.
Which makes it, in so many ways, seemingly unlike a lot of other markets. Price is such a key thing for just about everything that's bought and sold.
Right. The line that people use about the art world is that it's sort of the largest unregulated economy that there is, which is not completely true because there is some regulation, but there is very little oversight. So there's nobody going around and policing the fact that galleries aren't displaying their prices. And more to the point, that lack of transparency leads to certain ethically dubious business decisions. The art economy is very robust right now, and it continues to grow. And, as a result of that, you have a lot of speculative collectors who are manipulating and exploiting artists, especially younger artists. There's a young artist named Lucian Smith, a painter, and he, a few years ago, right out of school, started to gain the attention of certain speculative collectors who were working in collusion with dealers to purchase work by him in bulk at very low prices because he had just graduated from school. Nobody had heard of him. And so they then turned around almost immediately and resold this work at a great profit. And suddenly there were works by Lucian Smith everywhere, and he was this household name, and the works kept getting bought and resold at more and more profit. And then eventually the demand for the work just collapsed and the market collapsed with it. And this young artist is sort of left with no market and nobody is interested in buying the work anymore. And that's the kind of thing, that's one example, but that's the kind of thing that goes on all the time, which is completely absent from a show like Art Breakers or any other attempt at televising the art business.
So if you, Michael H. Miller, were to concoct your own show about the art world, reality or scripted, what would you show?
I would personally watch a hagiography of Larry Gagosian. Like, they wouldn't even have to show any kind of, like, shadowy backdoor things.
And if you're listening to this and you have no idea who that is, explain for us.
Well, Larry Gagosian is, by all rights, the most powerful art dealer in the world. And, you know, the number of galleries he owns keeps going up, but I think right now the count is 16.
Wow.
5 years ago it was 11, which seemed like a lot. And, you know, he has galleries on five continents, so...
So he's a mogul.
Yeah, he's an actual mogul, a sort of robber baron kind of figure.
Michael H. Miller is the senior editor for Art News. Thank you.
Thank you.